Pizzagate seems too cheery a characterization for the fake news story that almost turned tragic. We've talked here about the online lie pushed by the son of Donald Trump's new national security advisor and others that Hillary Clinton was running a child sex ring out of the Comic Ping Pong Pizza Parlor in D.C., a lie that led Edgar Madison Welch to drive there to liberate the non-existent children, firing an assault rifle in the process. Today, he tells the New York Times he was sorry about the rifle, but still believes the story. Also this week, a Florida woman, Lucy Richards, was indicted for making death threats to Lenny Posner, whose child Noah was murdered in the Sandy Hook massacre. The woman believed the lie pushed by radio host Alex Jones that the school bloodbath was a hoax. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik is here. And David, we've talked about this fake news. Now it's producing chargeable offenses. So what do we know about what Lucy Richards did and said?
Well, I've listened to some of the threats that she made, leaving voicemails for the parents of one of the children killed at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut, in that massacre there several years ago. And, you know, I mean, it's a disjointed series of racial and ethnic epithets, sort of vile vitriol being propagated in all directions against gays, against anything you could mention. But also, she said, you know, you're going to die. Death is coming to you. And while she didn't say that it was going to be by her hand, she didn't say how it was going to happen. This is clear as presented by prosecutors' presentation of a threat and just the, you know, the ugliest pain imaginable inflicted upon the surviving parents of this child.
Well, this underscores that the fake news of this election that's much talked about is not new. And you know that if you've been listening to radio host Alex Jones or other far-right outlets. But how did Sandy Hook start?
Well, it started almost immediately. You know, I think that there are people who are conspiracy theorists who just seized upon this, almost in the hours or days, immediate aftermath of this massacre, as I say. But, you know, we shouldn't limit it entirely. You can go back to the 9/11 attacks, the terror attacks on this nation. There are people called truthers. You know, you can think of the birthers who claim President Obama wasn't blamed here. You can go back to the mid-90s and President Clinton era where people claim that the ATF were these jackbooted thugs who were going to descend from the skies in black helicopters to take away people's guns. And, this cuts across ideologies in some ways. But the one common thread between that conspiracy and what we saw after Sandy Hook and Newtown, that massacre, was that for some who are extremely susceptible, shall we say, to conspiracy theories and hoaxes, and who also are adamant about the preservation of the right of gun owners, there was this notion that somehow a threat was being propagated to the possession of guns, that this would be used not only to tighten certain kinds of gun regulations, but also to take them away entirely, neither of which proved the case under President Clinton or President Obama.
Well, to the pizza story, this all began after the email account of John Podesta, the top aide to Hillary Clinton, was hacked, and users on the online message board 4chan noticed one of the emails was with James Alefantis, who's the owner of the pizza parlor, and they were talking about a Clinton fundraiser there, and people like Welch, the man who went with the rifle, thought the word pizza was code. The New York Times interviewed Edgar Welch, again, the man who went with the gun, who was arrested. The paper didn't print a complete transcript, but your thoughts on how that interview was crafted?
Well, it seemed to me that they did a Q&A after interviewing him from where he was being held. And it seemed to me both a very quick way of getting information up. They didn't have to wait to process the story in a news, and also a way to ensure that people who might be skeptical of the mainstream media, that is people who themselves might give these hoaxes, these conspiracy theories, not really fake news, but let's call them hoaxes, what they are.
Or lies.
Who give them credence by allowing him to speak in his own words more fully. It may lend more credence in their minds to what the New York Times, a place toward, you know, for which they may have some skepticism, is presenting in that case. Yeah. And I think also it's worth pointing out, you know, these emails being teased apart for code words, you know, by giving too much detail of how it happens, and we can do that, but nonetheless, it almost gives too much credence here. People were essentially inventing meanings without any evidence or reason to back it up, and imputing it to Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman John Podesta, and accusing her and him of somehow being involved in a child sex trafficking ring that simply did not and does not exist.
Well, let's look at why they do. Welch says he listens to Alex Jones. Again, this is the radio show host and founder of the site InfoWars. Here he is talking about Hillary Clinton.
Now it's out in the open. We've got the Clintons involved in hardcore Satanism, blood rituals, Aleister Crowley stuff. The WikiLeaks have released it. Google has had to authenticate it. WikiLeaks has come out and linked to sites that are reporting this is about child trafficking, Haitian children.
David Falkenflik, we got less than a minute. What do you do with that?
God, what do you do with it? I mean, there you have a guy who's in a bizarre and baroque way. You could call him a talented performer, but what he's not doing is propagating information. What he's doing is he's propagating disinformation. And one of the things he did in the pizza episode that is the most troubling is, you know, just a few days before this person drove up from North Carolina and shot up that pizza place, thankfully hurting no one. Jones himself said, you know, I may need to go to all these pizzeria places and check them out for myself. This is something I'm going to have to do in person. And, you know, that's exactly what this man armed did a few days later, thankfully with no deaths. But that's not necessarily a guaranteed outcome.
David Falkenflik, NPR media correspondent. We're going to stay on this one. Thank you so much.
You bet.